thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Verses 16 to 26. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Do you recognize treasure when you see it? Just over 30 years ago, there was a young woman mooching about at a car boot sale, having a wee rake through all the stuff as you do. And she saw a ring. It was a pretty big ring, a big stone in it. And she liked the look of it. She thought it was a bit of costume jewellery, not worth much. But she offered £10 for it and got it over 30 years ago. 2 years ago, her elderly mother was defrauded or scammed out of a lot of money. And she thought, "Do you know what? I'll sell that ring and I can at least give my mum a wee bit." She thought it might be worth a couple of £100 by now. Can you imagine her delight and her surprise when Sotheby's auction house sold it for £740,000? Yeah. Just yesterday, Graham was snoring so loud last night I couldn't sleep. I had to get up and look at the BBC news page. And I read a story about an elderly man living in Bath in England. He's about to go into a care home and he decided to sell off some of the stuff in his house just to get rid of it. There was a Chinese vase, he said, languishing on a shelf, unloved and uncared for years and years. And he thought he'd just take that to an auctioneer and get it valued. Well, the auctioneer said, "Well, that is pretty rare. I value that between 20 and 30,000. It has just sold for 220,000. It was a 300-year-old, very rare vase. There's many stories like that. People buy a painting or a vase or an ornament or a ring or something. They don't pay much for it. They think it's nice. They're not really interested in the value, and it turns out to be worth a fortune. I often wonder about the people who sold it. Imagine the woman who sold the ring for £10 at a car boot sale and then sees the woman on the new 740,000. Dear, dear. Put stuff into charity shop, whatever. But in the Bible, we see both kinds of people. People who don't recognize true treasure when they see it and they sell it off for something much less value than it's worth. And those who do recognize true treasure when they see it, and they are prepared to give everything to lay their hands on it. The first kind of person is a true story that we read tonight of a young man. He didn't recognize real treasure when he saw it. And the other story, we'll look briefly at the end, is a parable of somebody who did recognize true treasure when he found it. And in both cases, we'll see what they did. So the first case, the young man. This young man came up to Jesus. He was rich. We don't know if he'd inherited his wealth or if he'd worked hard for his wealth. But now that he had it, he realized there's still something missing in my life. Yes, he had everything he wanted in terms of money, in terms of material possessions. His life on earth was sorted. But he knew this earthly life is not all that there is to his existence. It's not the be-all and end-all. He was aware that there is a life beyond the grave. And he knew he hadn't made preparations for eternity. He wanted to be sure of eternal life. Now, he probably knew, well, that man Jesus, that Rabbi Jesus, he talks a lot about eternal life. He talks a lot about the kingdom of God, and that is an eternal kingdom. So he came to ask Jesus, what good thing can I do to get eternal life? Well, he certainly came to the right person with his question. And his question certainly shows an interest in spiritual matters. And if we think about his question, that's the kind of question anybody could be asking today. Maybe you're asking that question. What good thing can I do to get eternal life? To be honest, though, most people try not to think too much about life beyond the grave. The afterlife, eternity, for most people, it's an uncomfortable subject. For many people, it's a taboo subject. It's like the great unknown, something to actually be scared of. And today, if most people, if they allowed themselves to think about eternity, they would say, well, I want to go to heaven. I want to have eternal life. But most people believe today, like this young man, that there's something good that they need to do in order to get eternal life. But they're not sure what that good thing is. And that's exactly what he was asking Jesus. He recognized there's treasure to be had. Eternal life is treasure. But he wasn't sure how to get it. Jesus, though, didn't seem to make it easy for him. Now, in Mark's gospel, Mark tells a story too in Mark 10. And Mark says when this young man came to Jesus, he came and he fell down on his knees before Jesus. But Jesus didn't make it easy for him. Jesus didn't just take his words at face value. And that's the thing about Jesus right there. Jesus doesn't just listen to your words. He listens to your heart. He knows your motives. He knows your hidden thoughts. He knows and he understands things about you and about me that we don't even know about ourselves. So instead of just telling this young man, trust in me and everything will be all right. I mean, that's probably what we would have said. Trust in me and you'll have the gift of eternal life. No, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus begins to probe a bit deeper into his heart. And this evening, that is what Jesus is doing with you. You might be saying, well, yeah, I want eternal life. I want to know Jesus. I want to go to heaven. You might be saying all the right things. You might be saying, well, I'm seeking that spiritual treasure and I'm willing to do whatever good thing it takes to get it. But Jesus isn't taking your words at face value. Jesus is probing right into your heart. Sometimes we jump in too quickly. When somebody expresses an interest in spiritual things, we sometimes assume that they're ready there and then to make a commitment to Jesus. But this story reminds us, proceed with caution. Jesus is never interested in just getting names on a decision card. Jesus is never interested in just totting up figures of people claiming that they've come to him. Jesus wanted to make sure that this person and you know exactly what is involved in getting the gift of eternal life. So firstly, Jesus tells this young man, if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. The young man immediately asks, well, what ones are you talking about? That answer already tells us everything we need to know about this young man. Because if somebody really knows their own heart, they know they have broken God's commandments. Another occasion, when one of the Pharisees, an expert in the law of God, was trying to test Jesus, and he asked Jesus this question, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. Well, the expert in the law, he wasn't going to argue with that answer because he knew that was true. But anyone with even a smidging of honesty in their hearts would have to acknowledge, I have failed to keep the law of God. Is that all right? You hear those commandments? In which all the commandments hang, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. We have to say, I haven't done it. I couldn't do it. They had failed. He had failed because it is impossible for anyone to keep the law. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 7, the law of God was given to make men and women aware of sin. When the law came, what did it do? It highlighted, it put in bold in capitals our sin. It shows us our complete inability to keep God's law. And it leads us to Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the young man, there is only one who is good. That is Jesus. There is no one else who is good save Jesus Christ. He is the one who is good. But for this young man, it didn't highlight his sin. When Jesus listed some of these commandments, he seemed to have no awareness of his sin. He said, well, all of those ones, I've kept those ones since I've been a young man. As he looked at himself, this young man, as he looked at himself, he was completely blind to his spiritual condition and his total helplessness before God. And yet, he still had the sense that there was something lacking, something spiritual lacking. And that's what he was asking Jesus. He said to Jesus, well, what is it that I lack? This is a crucial point. I have met many people who sense something lacking, something spiritually lacking. I've met many people who say, I lack peace. I lack peace with God. I lack that assurance of eternal life. Or I just feel unfulfilled in my life. I'm empty inside. I know I need God. Friends, that's a starting point. But listen to this. This is important. To receive the gift of eternal life, a sense of need is not enough. This young man sensed his need. He sensed spiritual need, but it wasn't enough. There must be, and I keep on about this because it's absolutely key, there must be an awareness of our sin. There are many people who raise their hands in gospel meetings, who fill out decision cards, and they come and they say, I'm coming to Jesus. They come because they want peace. They come because they want an emptiness fulfilled. They come because they want healing or wholeness or for some other reason. But friends, if you're not aware of your sin, you won't come to Jesus in desperation as your Savior. And that's what he is. He gives us peace with God. Certainly he gives us assurance of eternal life. Surely he gives us certainty and wholeness and fulfillment and purpose. But only when we have acknowledged, confessed our sin, repented of our sin, and trust him as Savior. You agree? I'm not really worried whether you do or not because it's true. It's true. It's only when we acknowledge our sin, we see the need of his grace. We see the need of his blood that he shed on the cross for us to cover every sin. This was crunch time for this young man. And Jesus went straight to the heart of the matter. He knew he had a spiritual need. He wanted eternal life. But there was something holding this young man's heart more than his desire for eternal life. And that was his money. Money was his treasured possession. His money meant more to him than any other thing, even than finding eternal life. How do we know that? Because Jesus told him, he said, you lack one thing. Go and sell everything you have. Give to the poor. Then come, follow me. You'll have treasure in heaven. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus is not, underline, Jesus is not saying rich people can't come into his kingdom. He isn't saying that everybody who wants to come into his kingdom has to sell everything they have and give to the poor. He's not saying that. But I'll tell you what he is saying. He is saying, if you want eternal life, the kingdom of God has to be the greatest treasure of your life. That's what he's saying. Anything that comes before it will stop you coming to Jesus fully. It's impossible to come to Jesus with your whole heart when your heart and your hands are still full of your own stuff, still full of your own treasure, no matter what that might be. Might be the same as this young man's money. It might be something else. It might be a relationship that you won't let go of. It might be some sin that you want to hang on to, whatever it is. Could be the pride in your own heart. Refusing to acknowledge and admit that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. I don't know your heart, but God does. Friends, this young man, I want you to picture him in your own mind. This young man stood before the Savior of the world, the only one who could give him the gift of eternal life. But his heart and his hands were too full of his own treasure to receive it. He wanted to come on his own terms. He thought he could do something good to attain it. But Jesus said, if you want the greatest treasure, you need to empty your hands. You need to empty your heart. You need to know the sin in your own heart. Acknowledge it. Recognize that you cannot do anything to gain eternal life. It is the free gift of God that only Jesus can give. Jesus said that to that young man. He says it to you. This is still the only way to receive eternal treasure. It is still the only way. That young man was talking to Jesus on the earth. Jesus hadn't been to the cross. But we are looking back now. We're looking back in time. Jesus died on the cross to pay for all our sin. His blood is the only thing that will cleanse your sin. You might say, what good thing can I do to get eternal life, this eternal treasure, to be sure of heaven? What good thing? No good thing. There's no good thing we can do. Friends, that's not bad news. The good news is, Jesus did it all. Hallelujah. When he died on the cross, when he called out, it is finished. He had paid the price for you so that you could have eternal life. I love these verses, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. The gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Nobody will ever be able to claim that they did something. They earned eternal life. Never. It's impossible. Because we are completely helpless to earn anything before God. But he has done it all. And his call is still the same. Do you want eternal life? Do you want the greatest treasure? Come empty-handed. Empty-handed. Anything you're holding on to, lay it down and come to Jesus. And finally, and it is very briefly, Jesus told another story. This was a parable. He said, the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. A man went out to the field. He must have been digging. He was probably digging up the field, maybe working for somebody. He's digging up that field and he came across a treasure. And when he saw it, he knew it was treasure. He buried it again. And he went. And with joy, he sold everything he had. He let it all go. Why? To go back and buy that field with the treasure. Do you see the difference? Recognizing treasure when you see it. Knowing where true value lies. As I said at the beginning, most people, almost everybody, wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants eternal life. But they don't want it enough to give everything to Jesus. They count the cost and they come to the conclusion, like that young man, it's too high. Is that you? Is that you? Think carefully, very carefully about that decision. Because there is a day coming to you, coming to us all, but it's coming to you, when one day your body will be placed in a coffin and not one thing that you have possessed on this earth, none of the treasures of this earth, no matter what they are, will be taken into that coffin with you. Everything that you have treasured and held onto so tightly in that moment will be gone. Will you have the greatest treasure of all eternal life. What will all your earthly treasure be worth to you then? Absolutely nothing. It will be useless to you. Jesus asked, I think, one of the most pointed questions of all time. What good is it for a man or a woman to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? I ask you that question. What good is it for you to gain the whole world, to have everything, yet forfeit your soul? Don't forfeit your soul by clinging to what this world regards as treasure and find out in the end it's worthless and it's unable to save. For those of us, and many of us here tonight, are believers. Can I challenge you? Is the kingdom still your greatest treasure? Because you know something? As we go along in the journey of faith with Jesus Christ, sometimes we lose sight of how great a treasure he is. Sometimes we also get seduced by the treasures and the possessions and the status and all the stuff of this world, and we begin to hold it tightly to ourselves. Friends, ask yourself, is what you're holding so tightly to, does it have any value in eternity? If the answer's no, open your hands, open your heart, and let it go. Let it go. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. He alone is our treasure. Let's pray. Has God been speaking to you? Not an audible voice, but in your own heart. You've heard these words, the questions are arising in you. Do I have the treasure of eternal life? Have I been trying to do good things to get it? Am I holding on to my own stuff and I refuse to empty my hands? Do I recognize I am a sinner and I need a Savior? Friends, if he's speaking to you tonight, don't shut your mind off. Don't shut your heart off to his voice. Listen. The Bible says, when you hear his voice, respond to him. Don't harden your heart to him. This is the day of salvation. I lay everything down to have this treasure. Talk to him. Talk to him in your own heart. You don't need to pray out loud. He knows you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your thoughts. Just speak to him. Repent of your sin. Turn away from it and put your trust in him as Savior and receive the free gift, the free gift of eternal life that Jesus bought for you on the cross with his own life. Believer, is he speaking to you? Have you been seduced by other treasures, other priorities, other stuff? Your hand is full of stuff. There's not a lot of room for Jesus. Tell him. Repent. Confess it. Say, Jesus, I lay it down. I lay it down. I empty my hands and my heart of all the stuff that I've been holding on to. Help me to be free to pursue the greatest treasure of all. That is you. Lord, I thank you that you have spoken tonight by the power of your Holy Spirit through your incredible living word. Lord, as Martin Luther, as we heard this morning, may your word run after us. May your word grab hold of us until we submit. Jesus' name.
Your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.